Now we're continuing our series relative to the person of the Antichrist. Now the spirit of Antichrist was introduced to this world when Satan seduced Eve with the words, "Yea, hath God said." It didn't take long for Satan to enter the picture and bring this question to Eve, for this was the first questioning of God's word that took place on earth, and this questioning has continued through the centuries until this day and will continue until God ushers in eternity. Now this question, "Yea, hath God said," was not said by Satan intending to spread God's word, but to question God's word with the intent of instilling doubt in Eve's mind. Now, if you go to the book of Genesis, you can find first things happening. You can find first principles, and this is the first principle of Satan. And this is the mission of the Antichrist. So the mission of the Antichrist is to come alongside and whisper in ears words that are contrary to God's word, words that promote doubt. That's what the Antichrist is all about. That's what Satan is all about, doubting God's word. This is the spirit of Antichrist. And this spirit is rampant in our day, for this spirit has pervaded all aspects of this world's culture and this world's system. You know, you think about all of the churches and all of the schools and all of the universities and colleges, the hospitals and places of power, all those places that we see today, most of those were founded upon obedience to God's word. You look back and find the famous universities, Yale and Harvard, and you'll find a foundation of Christian obedience to God's word. But it has been Satan's purpose to infiltrate those places, and he always brings that same question, "Yea, hath God said." Yea, hath God said. Now, in carrying out his purpose, he is making the world ready for the introduction of Satan's crowning achievement, his Christ, whom those who believe God's word call the Antichrist. Now, I came across a little commentary relative to this on our website, and I'm going to play you these words. This is Dr. Hobbs speaking in his educational series, and he speaks the same message.
Basically, we have, and I know I'm going over maybe some things you've had in your courses in college and so forth, but just touching briefly on some things, we have two basic philosophies of teaching, child-centered and Christ-centered. In other words, humanistic or theistic. Now, we know that Antichrist, see, there's a theological aspect to this thing that's very important for us to understand. As we approach the end and Antichrist sets up his program, he has to, as we read in 2 Thessalonians, he sits upon the throne saying that he is God. Now remember, here's a man saying he is God. Now, that's the ultimate in humanism. And of course, that's the whole goal of it, and that'll be the end of it. In other words, the public schools and humanistic education is designed by Satan for the specific purpose of preparing people to accept Antichrist, to accept a man as God. And of course, he's going to be a very remarkable man, going to be a very extraordinary man, but he's going to be accepted as God. Now, we have to understand then that the whole system of education, state education, is designed toward that end. As those of you who may have heard Brother Blair last night pointed out how in 1 John that the the public school system, the spirit of it is not Christ but Antichrist, and that's certainly the truth.
I don't know when he did that series, but it's probably 30-some years ago. He understood what was taking place in Christian education, whereas, and we see it even more clearly today, where anything, any vestige of spiritual things, any vestige of God is to be excluded in the teaching in our public schools. But since the garden, Satan's plan has been to bring to this earth his Messiah, his Christ. Now, his message is that his Christ will not require those hard things, such as recognizing oneself as a sinner and the humbling and repentance that God's Christ commands. That's the message of his Christ. Because Satan operates on the broad way. He operates on the easy way, the way made attractive in the realm which he has been given, for he is the prince of the power of the air. Now, this is the realm only known by the senses. Now, this is the realm only adhered to by those that say, if I can't feel it, if I can't touch it, if I can't hear it or smell it, then it does not exist. And that's Satan's realm, for he is the prince of the power of the air, which basically says the prince of the physical, the prince of that which you can touch and see. Now, this is the realm, the only realm known by the walking dead. So his message is only received by hearing, seeing, touching, tasting, smelling. And you think about Eve in the garden and how she reacted to, "Yea, hath God said." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So Eve responded with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of these things Satan uses in his realm, for they are that which attracts those who are spiritually dead. You know, Satan operates on those who are spiritually dead, and this is his mode of operation. Satan's Christ will operate in the realm of the dead, for he is death, as opposed to God's Christ, who is life. You see the worlds that these two operate in. One operates in death, and the other operates in life. Now, the Apostle John is the only one who uses the title Antichrist, but of course there are many references to Satan's Christ throughout the Scripture that use different titles. But John's use of this title occurs in these verses. 1 John 2:18. "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And 1 John 2:22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And 1 John 4:3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." You notice how absolute these statements are. Oh, the world loves to be living in the grays of life. But the Bible lives in the absolutes of life. And John absolutely says this. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Way back 2,000 years ago, John saw the spirit of Antichrist operating. It has been operating since the creation. And John records it in 1 John 4:3, and he also records it in 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now notice the emphasis of the last three references. All identify the mark of the spirit of Antichrist as being a denial of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the emphasis in those verses, a denial of God's Son. So Antichrist is the one brought by Satan to replace any recognition of the Savior sent by God the Father. This is his aim. Get rid of any identification, any recognition of the Savior that God provides. Do away with it. So that the world will recognize Antichrist as the Savior, the true Christ, but to those who are alive spiritually, we will know he's the false Christ. You got to be alive spiritually to know the false Christ. Great deceiver. If you live in the world with the dead, you cannot recognize the fact that this is the Antichrist. You have to be made spiritually alive to this. Now, Satan's goal is that he will be the only Christ, intending to banish any knowledge of the true Christ. Now, John's title of Antichrist reveals to us in two ways what he is. Both ways concern the definition of the prefix anti in the name Antichrist. The first definition of anti means against. It means opposed to. Everything this epitome of evil does is opposed to Christ. Everything. Everything is opposed to the real Christ, the true Christ. He is in opposition to the man Christ. He is against Christ's church. He is against Grace Bible Church. He hates this church. He hates you. He hates me. He hates our pastor for being straight and true to the Savior. He is against Christ as the Word. He is against the Holy Bible, Christ written. He hates this Bible. And if it was up to him, he would get rid of it. Be careful of transferring all the scriptures to electronic form. Push a button and they're all gone. Hide one in your attic. He is against God himself, for he is against in every way the mission of the one God sent to redeem those whom Satan claims as his own. You know, Satan claims this whole world. He is the prince of the power of the air. This is my world, he says. I took it, and it's rightfully mine, and those that live on this world are rightfully mine. Take your hands off God. Now, he is against love. He is against real godly love, but brings about in the world another love. You know, Satan's the great counterfeiter. God is love. But he brings love. It is not hard to notice that the world in its way promotes love. For Satan has a form of godless love, and this he offers to the world. It is not the love of God who is love, but Satan's love, and therefore Antichrist's love is expressed in a concern for humanity and pity for the oppressed. There's Satan's love, a concern for humanity and pity for the oppressed. But they're over there. They're not across the street. They're not your neighbors. They're over there. We love them over there. But Satan's love is a love that does evil in order to do what appears good. But it is simply an invented love. For in all that he does, he is motivated by a hatred of Jesus Christ. For even in love, he is opposed to all that the true Christ stands for and to all that stand for him. You know, it is easy to see this kind of love pervading our own country as little antichrists fill powerful offices of our government. Our government is full of little antichrists. The message today is to tear down the image of God which is displayed in individuals versus Satan's way of downgrading the role of the individual and instead glorifying the importance of the group. You know, God does not save groups. God does not deal with groups. He deals with the individual. So therefore, Satan says, I will deal with the group. This will be something that groups love. And they will come to me in groups. But Jesus Christ said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Talking to individuals. Satan's program, which will be clearly promoted by his Christ, is out with anything that distinguishes the individual and in with anything that distinguishes the group as a whole. His realm is a realm which tears down excellence in favor of equality. Out with individual reward and in with group reward, even if it means confiscating it from the individual. You know, it's interesting. You look at these FCAT schools. The school has an A. Who cares if the school has an A? You care about your child. How did they do? We don't care about your child. We care about the school. That's part of groupthink. Group elevation. Out with anything that puts one individual above another, for this is not acceptable in Satan's program. So whatever the group wants is supreme. Don't you see that in our country and in the world? Whatever the group wants is supreme. Morality is a fluid thing according to the group. Things are happening today that are amazing. How did it come to this? Black is white and white is black. Up is down and down is up. 2 + 2 does not equal 4. It equals anything you want it to equal. You know, why should you have to know math to be outstanding? You can be outstanding in your own way. You know, Antichrist is the God of the group, for in him there are no absolutes. Morality is fluid. I don't even know if the term morality is acceptable anymore. You know, even in this controversial health care plan, we see that group thinking as it pushes aside anything religious or principled in order to satisfy the group, and it does it in the name of love. Don't you love your fellow man? Don't you love the woman that has to have this and that, and the man that has to have this and that. Don't you love? It's the group thing. Satan uses every advance of technology to move toward group thinking. And in this, he erases the work of the hands, which is the work of individuals. When's the last time you bought anything that was built by hands? It's all built by the machines. The hands are excluded because they are attached to the individual. Satan's love is love for cookie-cutter people who will be controlled by the senses and operate according to the emotions. That's Satan's world. That's not the Bible world. God does not involve himself in cookie-cutter people. You are the image of God and his diversity. He does not want you to be like the neighbor down the street. He wants you as an individual because it expresses his diversity. But God says in his word, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know, the world's mind is not the acceptable mind. God says, "Let this mind be in you." Satan, the counterfeiter, takes this and says, "Let this mind be in you, which is in my Christ," who the Bible tells us is the man of sin, the man of perdition. So the multitudes are being groomed today for his coming, and their minds will be prepared to be deceived. I mean, you can see it all around. Their minds are being prepared to be deceived. Now, the second use of the prefix anti is using it as that which describes in place of Christ. So we had opposed to Christ, and now we have in place of Christ. So antichrist also indicates or includes substitution. Anti indicates substitution. Antichrist opposes our Lord Jesus Christ in order to take his place as Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, we all know, died for his people. He was our substitute. Him and him alone is our substitute. And in the Greek, one of the prepositions used in this phrase is anti, indicating that he died as a substitute for his people. So Antichrist comes along and says, "I'm the substitute." He's not the substitute, I'm the substitute. And he deceives many, a substitute for Jesus Christ. Now God sent forth his Son to seek and to save a people for his name. We know that. Now, who responds? Do the masses respond? Do the groups respond? No, the Bible tells us that a remnant will respond, and few there be that find it, and few there be that find it. You know, you're part of a few in this world. The masses are going to hell, but a remnant will respond. Now, Satan is not satisfied with this. Satan will send forth his son to destroy. For Daniel 8:24 tells us, "He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." His aim is to destroy you. His aim is to destroy the remnant. The multitudes will respond as this destroyer comes to destroy any vestige of God or God's people. The multitudes will respond. They will cheer. They will laugh when the two prophets are killed. They will laugh and rejoice. The last vestige, they'll say, of any mention of God is dead in the streets. They will rejoice, it says. But Antichrist will come as an imposter of the true Christ sent from God. Now Jesus Christ was revealed in the tabernacle and the temple. Antichrist will take his seat in the temple. Christ is God himself, but Antichrist will claim that position. You see how he's alongside? Substitute. Christ performs signs and wonders. Antichrist, too, will perform signs and wonders. Christ has a kingdom, and thus Antichrist promises a kingdom. Christ comes by the power of the Spirit. Antichrist will come by the power of a spirit who is the devil himself. Now, of course, alongside, but in all of this, there is a sharp contrast between God's man and Satan's man. God's Christ came down from heaven, according to John 6:38. Satan's Christ will ascend out of the bottomless pit, according to Revelation 11:7. Jesus Christ, God's Son, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of that cruel cross. Aren't you thankful for that cruel cross? Where he shed his blood that we might have life. But Antichrist, and that message, by the way, is hated by the world. But the message that Antichrist brings, that son of Satan, they'll love the fact that he will exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. That's what the world loves, self-exaltation. They hate humbling. We read of this in 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. You know, I look at that and I know of the scripture that says, if you humble yourselves, you shall be exalted. But if you exalt yourself, you shall be humbled. Right there, I know that God's going to take care of this. Right there on that little promise of scripture. You see that, you say, oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You know, you see people exalting themselves. You can say, you're in big trouble. There's a fall. You see the cliff down the road? But he's in big trouble. So that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But Jesus Christ came into the world to do his Father's will. Antichrist will come into the world to do his own will, exalting and magnifying himself. Jesus Christ, we're told, is the true vine, and God the Father is the husbandman. Antichrist will, according to Revelation 14:18-19, be the leader of the vine of the earth. He is the ideal of the men of the earth. He is the perfect product of darkness. You know, the world has been looking for the perfect product of the world. And this is the man. Christ is the light. Antichrist is the darkness. Christ is the truth. Antichrist is the lie. Antichrist is the result of all the lies of the earth. For in darkness, there is no truth. That's all there is, lies in darkness. Christ, although tempted in all points as we are, is without sin. Antichrist will be the man of sin who exalts sin, who celebrates sin. Don't you see that taking place today? The celebration of sin. Pride Day, celebration of sin. The Defense Department allowed the military to walk in the parade in San Diego in uniform. The Gay Pride Parade, celebration of sin. That's what the world is doing. They celebrate sin. Sin is no longer the bad thing, but sin is the good thing. We celebrate sin. Christ humbled himself and has been exalted and has been given a name above every name. Antichrist, who will exalt himself, will be brought low. Why? The Bible says so. The Bible says so. We trust in God. He will be brought down to hell. He will be cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And he will be to God as a mosquito is to us. That's all it is. Just a mosquito to God. The world will marvel at this man. Oh, this is the perfect product of darkness, they'll say. They will rejoice. But God will take one breath. One breath from God's mouth will move him off the scene. That's how big he is. Nothing. You know, Jesus Christ came into this world and proclaimed himself to be the truth. Antichrist will come on the scene proclaiming himself to also be the truth. But we who believe God's word will know him as the lie. For 2 Thessalonians says that he comes with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and God sends the world strong delusion that they should believe the lie. All right, you're going down that road. I'll let you go down that road, and you'll believe the lie. You know, by this scripture, it is obvious that we can see Antichrist will not be using guns and tanks and the bombs of this world to bring people into submission, but will be using the power of ideas broadcast with great swelling words of oratory. Be careful of great orators. You better make sure that what they say is based upon God's word. You know, oratory tries to use the emotions to draw people to itself. But in his initial attempts to destroy the cause of God, the devil used a serpent to deceive the woman with crooked speech, where he said, "You will be like God. You will be like God." And now he will use his Christ, who will speak crafty, lying words. In this age of rapid communication, his speeches will be heard by millions who will hang on his persuasive rhetoric. We've seen some of this in the past. We've seen some of this in this decade of great oratory that attract the millions. And in the last century, that orator Hitler and how he could persuade and draw the millions unto himself. But the content of his speeches, as well as the form of his speeches, will be designed to attract and draw in emotional ways. And as most false prophets, he will even be sincere and passionate. But he will be a liar. The spiritual will know he's a liar. He'll pepper his speeches with hints of truth so that his lie tastes like truth. He will use the right words that the masses want to hear. He will use words that tickle the ears with what the groups, the masses, wish to hear, for they will have been programmed to receive the lie. You know, Romney was criticized for his speech to the NAACP by some commentators because he didn't give them what they wanted. You see, you didn't know your audience. You didn't give them tickling words, words that made them feel good and puffed up. Oh, but the Antichrist will be a master at this. He is the ultimate liar and will deceive many. He's going to use every tool available. He'll be using school teachers and politicians, news broadcasters. My, how they're in the camp of the Antichrist today. Artists. Musicians, scientists, and doctors, lawyers, and businessmen, and all of those will be pressed into the service of Antichrist to deceive many. We see it today. We see it forming today. But especially he will use those whose calling it is to persuade and to teach, men who claim to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My, what two minds they have. What double minds they have to proclaim the word of God and to proclaim the culture of the world. How do you balance that? But men who claim to be on the Lord's side, but now are open to recognize the perversions of the world as right and true. Boy, how to tickle the ears of the masses. Go away from this book and go according to the world. But he will use the gospel of humanism, which promotes as the highest virtue what? The happiness of man, the glory of man, the peace and prosperity, the health and wealth of man. That's the highest virtue, and that will be proclaimed by the Antichrist. Don't we see that today? His message will be that man is the ultimate, and that he, Antichrist, is the ultimate of the ultimate. He will come as the world's Messiah, promising an earthly life of peace and prosperity with health and happiness, which will be his salvation offer. You know, I think I like the salvation offer of the scriptures better. You know, as I get older, I don't see this happening. But this is the goal of the world today. Prosperity, happiness of men, the glory of man, the health and wealth of man. That's the ultimate truth that is proclaimed by this man of lies. We're told he will perform miracles. He will follow a line of miracle workers of the Bible, and he will establish himself as God's anointed. Jesus told us this in Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." You know, why isn't it possible? Because we know God's word. This is also the teaching of 2 Thessalonians 2:9. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." You know, the works of Antichrist will be the works of Satan, who has power beyond the natural ability of man and will exercise that power through the Antichrist by signs and wonders. So the Antichrist is the devil incarnate. But you know, God intends not his children to be ignorant. We've been taught. We know what the scriptures say. We know what is coming. We ought to test the waters every day as the culture moves toward the goal of Satan. And we ought to be careful as to what we get involved in, because it could promote that very program of the Antichrist. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God, and we're thankful, Father, that we have light. Lord, help us not to stray from that light. Help us not to get on the edge of that light into darkness, but help us to walk in the light by studying the Scriptures, to see that we are right with Thee. Bless our pastor, Father, this morning. Bless the service to come. May the Lord Jesus Christ be given preeminence in all that we do, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.